Lord. Amen. What a song, and that's so true, right? God is faithful, and you are to be thanking the Lord for His faithfulness. He keeps every promise. That means if you pray, He said, I'll answer you when you pray. Amen. And many, many other promises. He said, if you call upon His name, He'll save you. And thank God for that promise. Amen. He didn't say He had to swim across the ocean or climb a great mountain. He said, just call on me, ask me to save you, and I will. And I thank God for that great, precious promise. Let's turn to Psalm, the ninth Psalm. And I want to draw your attention to verses 17 through 20. And I know we've just stopped to remember our Independence Day and celebrate the birth of our country. And so I want to preach to you on this thought this morning, National Remembrance. This will not be a normal sermon for me. I probably do more reading this morning than I normally do. But I do think that we need to think about these things. And so I hope and pray this will be a help to you. I do believe it will remind us of what we should be working towards, praying toward. And hope that God will use it in your life to help you to try to leave a Christian heritage to your children, hopefully to your children's children, and that may God use us to influence America to repent and turn back to Him. Amen? So look at verse 17 of chapter 9, Psalm. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and notice this, and all the nations that forget God. Can a nation forget God? Absolutely. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Amen. That's Psalms 9, verses 17 through 20. Nations forget God, and nations need to be reminded they are but men. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you especially for the Word of God. Lord, its influence throughout many generations, Lord, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, your word has prevailed. And I pray, God, that you would stir us this morning. Help us. Lord, help us to look at our nation, to look at this country, and see the great need of America. I pray, God, that none of us would leave this service thinking, I'm just one person, there's nothing I can do. Lord, show us what we can do. Ask your Father that they would be a revival that would take place in our own hearts first and then in America. And then, God, if you would so choose, spread it across the globe. But remind us, God, that we are but men. You're the one true and living God. And, Lord, there are forces in America that are doing everything they can to cause us to forget you, to forget our founding, our foundation. I pray, God, they would not prevail. I ask that your word would prevail. I pray, God, that Jesus would be lifted up in America and that men and women begin to put their faith and trust in him like never before. God, we need godly leaders, born again leaders, Lord, men who live the faith, not just give credit to the faith, but they live the faith. And I pray, God, that you would establish leaders throughout America that are bold, godly Christians. And Lord, in order for that to take place, there have to be some people, and that maybe even in this congregation this morning, that would take on the responsibility of living an all-out life for God. And I pray, God, that you'd help us. Please speak to us through your word. Have your way in the service. At the end of this time together, Lord, draw us to the altar. Draw us to repentance. There's one here that's not saved. May they call upon the name of the Lord today. Receive Jesus as their Savior. Have your way, Lord, please. Be glorified, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. I'm sure that most of you are aware that there has been a concerted effort by Satan, and I would say by a sinful society, to try to get us to forget that as a nation we were founded on the Bible, the Word of God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you listen to most people on the TV and teachers throughout America today, they'll diminish that. They'll try to make sure that you don't believe that is true, and they will ignore all the evidence and only highlight the few examples of men who were not atheists, but they were deists. That means that they did believe that there was a God, they just didn't think he was a personal God. Psalms 11 verse 3 says this, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So people have been trying real hard to destroy the foundational truths that our nation was built upon. We have been repeatedly lied to. We're told that America was not founded as a Christian nation. That is an obvious lie. That's a blatant lie. Leading atheists will willfully overlook the multitude of evidence. They start talking about our founding. They just go blind to all the evidence that's out there. And again, they'll just highlight a few things that kind of promote their argument. But if you do a search You look at the Mayflower Compact, you look at the first 13 states that were acknowledged here in America, and many of the presidents, you'll see that we are strongly founded on Christian principles. In fact, the reason we left England and came to America is because, for one reason, we wanted the freedom to worship and not have the Church of England dictate how we worship. We want to be able to come to a place and worship God like we thought the Bible instructed us to worship God. And they wanted to get away from the liberal church that was in England. And so many men and women risked their lives to come to America just for an opportunity to worship God. Now, I know there's some marks in our Christian, our American national history. I know there's some sad events that have taken place throughout the history of America, but those events happen only when we turn our eyes away from Jesus Christ. So what I want to do this morning is try to help us to remember our foundation. When you look in the Bible and you notice the nation of Israel, you know that they once had a really close and intimate walk with God. How many of y'all would agree with that? Israel. Right? They started out with just Abraham and God having intimate fellowship. And then God carried them all the way through and established them as a great nation and gave them great victories over their enemies, settled them into the land that he promised that he would give them. And then over a period of 400 and plus years, they turned away from the living God, and the multitude of them worshiped false gods and idols. And ultimately, this caused God to fulfill his promise of driving them out of the land into foreign captivity until that they would repent of their sins and come back into a right relationship with him. And so if it can happen on the pages of the Bible to Israel, you and I should be on guard and watching for America, that we not take that same kind of trend. And sadly, we have taken that same kind of trend, right? You'll notice some prominent churches in the Bible. Church at Ephesus and such like. And if you go to those areas today, those churches are no longer there. Some of them were conquered by the Muslims as they tried to spread their religion using a sword. But some of them never heeded the warnings in Revelation, and the light was taken away and the church is no more. So even great churches that we read about in the Bible can end up being non-existing churches, having no believers. That ought to concern us. Every nation that forgets God, the psalmist said, shall be cast into hell. And we ought not to forget our God. Amen? When you think about the nation of Israel, what more could God have done for a nation that that nation would stay close to him and love him and serve him? I don't think there's anything else God could have done. Do you? I mean, he worked miracles. They sung about this morning in a special song. He sent manna down from heaven. I don't know what else God could do to demonstrate to a nation that he alone is God, and then to still have that nation turn their back on him. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 say it this way. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Isaiah 5, verses 1 and 2. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. He hath fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Notice what God said in verse number 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. I want to say to us this morning, God has been extremely gracious to America. He has blessed us in so many ways. But it's evident there's a strong effort and force in America that is constantly trying to pull us away from a bended knee towards the Lord Jesus Christ. America really is a nation that has largely forgotten God. I hate to say that. I wish it was different. If you asked pollsters how many people in America still believe in God and believe in the Bible, they'll say there's an overwhelming majority. But we're not living that way. If there were 200 plus million Christians in America, America should be far different than what it is. Amen? And it's not. Why is that? Because we're forgetting the God of the Bible. And so I want us to look at some historical evidence. And I hope this will encourage you and be a blessing to you. First, notice our 13 original states. And their constitutions would shock most politicians of our day. And the Maryland State Constitution, penned in 1776, Article 33 there says this, that as it is the duty of every man to worship God in such a manner as he thinks most acceptable to him, all persons professing the Christian religion are equally entitled to protection in their religion, liberty, wherefore no person ought to be by law molested in his person or estate on account of his religious persuasion or profession. It wasn't just that these first 13 states acknowledged religion, they acknowledged Christianity specifically. We were not funded on the Hindu faith. Our foundation is not a Muslim faith. Our foundation is not in Buddha. America's foundation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Delaware's Constitution. In Article 22, they're talking about when they elect someone and the oath that they're to make. Every person who shall be chosen as a member of either house or appointed to any office or place of trust before taking his seat or entering upon the executive of his office shall take the following oath. This is what they swore to, or affirmation. And then it says, I, and then, of course, underline whoever's name is here, will bear true allegiance to the Delaware state, submit to its constitution and laws, and do not act willingly whereby the freedom thereof may be prejudiced. And also make and subscribe the following declarations to wit. So if you're going to serve in the state of Delaware, you have to say, I'm going to defend the Constitution of Delaware. And this is what you also had to affirm. I, underlining, do profess faith in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost. One God, blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. And all officers shall also take an oath of this office. They have to, in order to be an officer, the governor, our Senate, he said, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I believe in both the Old Testament and New Testament. That's just to show you, when they keep streaming from the highest mountain, separation of church and state, that was not what our founders had in mind. The freedom of religion means this, that the state can't dictate how you worship. And the church is to be able to worship God freely. They can't come in and order, believe this or do this or practice this. That's up to the individual Christian as he searches the scripture and he's led by the Holy Ghost. North Carolina state constitution said this in Article 32. That no person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Protestant religion or the divine authority either of the Old or New Testament or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with freedom and safety of the state shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department within this state. I don't know about you, but I'd love for them to put that back in all over America. Amen? If you don't believe in God, you can't be a president. If you don't believe in God, you can't be a senator. You can't be a governor. Why? Because we need holy men to lead our nation to do what's right, not just to satisfy the lust of the population. Amen? Massachusetts, 1780. It has oaths and subscriptions also. And listen to what they say. I, underline, do declare that I believe the Christian religion and have a firm persuasion of its truths, and that I am seized and possessed in my own right of the property required by the Constitution as one qualification for the office or place to which I am elected. Now, again, our 13 original states had all these similar acknowledgments. If you're going to serve in our state, the original 13, you had to profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to serve in any way. I think that's strong evidence to say that America was founded on Christian beliefs and principles, don't you? Think about some of our leading colleges. Now, you can't look at them today and tell why they were formed. What was their purpose? Why did they begin to have a college there? I think Harvard is probably one of the most anti-Christ colleges in America. But it was not founded as an anti-Christ college. It was founded in 1636, October the 28th, 1636. And Harvard had a college symbol. Originally, it was a shield that had three books inside the shield. Look this up if you get a chance to. Two of the books were turned face up, and the third was turned face down. And the reason they turned the third face down is they said, you cannot have a proper education. The two books represent Old Testament, New Testament, I have that right. The third is education. And they're turning it face down and saying, you can't have a proper education unless, first of all, you get it from the book. Harvard was, it began to train young ministers and students to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was some of the rules that the college men and women had to observe. I'm going to skip to their second rule. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God in Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. John 17:3. And therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of sound knowledge and learning. Wouldn't it be a blessing if they got back to that? It continues, and seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of him. Proverbs 2:3. I'll read another one for you, one of the students' guides. Everyone shall so exercise himself, this is 3, everyone shall exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day. And he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein, both in theoretical observations and of the language and logic and in practical and spiritual truths as his tutor shall require it according to his ability. Seeing the entrance of the word of God giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Psalms 119:130. Wouldn't you love it if these colleges got back to saying, we're not going to be anti-God, we're not going to be anti-America, we're going to support America, and we're going to go back to our founding and say, listen, to come here, you must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of these colleges you may recognize, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth. You know, all those colleges were started because some group said, we need to train ministers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, these Ivy League colleges that really are training people today to hate God and hate America, their foundation was, the reason they started to be a college was so they could train ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why has America fallen so far? Because we have fallen away from that truth. Amen? We think that just education is sufficient. Let me give you some quotes from our founding fathers and some of our presidents. George Washington said this in his farewell address. By the way, I'm skipping a lot here. You might want to look some of this stuff up yourself. You'd be shocked at how much evidence is out there. We have a strong foundation for a Christian nation, and we should be trying to persuade all of America to get back to our foundation. Amen. George Washington, our first president, said this in his farewell address. Do not let everyone claim to be a true American who attempts to remove religion from politics. When you love for some senator to stand up and they say, we need to keep separation of church and state. Let's quote our first president here. Don't claim to be American if you're going to take religion out of politics. In fact, they saw how necessary it was. Samuel Adams, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said this: may every citizen in the army and in the country have a proper sense of deity upon his mind and an impression of the declaration recorded in the Bible. Him that honoreth me, I will honor, but he that despiseth me shall be lightly esteemed. 1 Samuel 2:20. That's one of our signers of our Declaration of Independence. John Adams said this. Listen well to this. We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions. This preacher, how in the world are we going to stop all this drugs and this murder and these children being attacked and molested and all the evil that's going on in America? All the divorce, the abandonment, all the stuff. How are we going to stop that? Our founding fathers knew. You're not going to stop it by just spending another $1 billion on something. We should have got that a long time ago, right? Our educational system is one of the worst in the world. Sad to say that, but it's true. And yet we spend the most money on it. If money was the answer, we should have the best education in the world. We should be far above any other country if just spending a lot of money on it solved the problem, right? That never solves the problem. You have got to get to the heart of the issue. We have to get back to where we're promoting Jesus Christ in the world, in our country, our nation. We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and true religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern the government of any other. You want to see America fall apart? America fall apart? Keep putting God out of America. Because our Constitution wasn't written down for an immoral, godless, selfless society. It was written for moral people. And if we don't have Christian morality, we don't really have a nation. Amen? I believe exactly what John Adams, our second president, said in this military address. Hope you do too as well. Thomas Jefferson quoted, this is engraved on the Jefferson Memorial: God who gave us life gave us liberty. Our freedoms come from God, by the way. Our freedoms don't come from the government. We have the freedom of speech because God has given us freedom of speech. Freedom of assembly because God has done that. Amen? God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their own firm basis and conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift of God? What have we done? That's exactly what we've done as a nation. We try to remove all the Constitution from God and say, here's the Constitution. You keep God over there. And our founding father said, you can't do that. It'll all fall apart. They knew how critical our faith in Christ was as a people. That they are not to be violated by his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. That's Thomas Jefferson. I don't know how much more y'all want. Abraham Lincoln said this. The President, Commander-in-Chief of the Army, the Navy desires and enjoins the orderly observation of the Sabbath by the officers and men in the military and the naval service. The importance for men and beast of the prescribed weekly rest. The importance for men and beasts of the prescribed weekly rest, the sacred rights of Christian soldiers and sailors, and becoming difference to the best sentiment of a Christian people, and a due regard for the divine will, demand that Sunday labor in the Army and Navy be reduced to the measure strictly necessary. How would you like the Commander-in-Chief say, guys, look, on Sunday, let our soldiers go to church on Sunday. I can't agree with everything that any administration says. But I do like the fact that our current Secretary of Defense is unashamed about proclaiming Christ as his Savior. Listen to John Adams, second president of the United States again. The destiny of America is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to all men everywhere. The second president of the United States of America said the destiny of America is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere. We need love for that to be our national goal. Remember recently they're going through where we were wasting money at? I remember some of those stories. And what were we wasting so much money on? Teaching atheism. Teaching transgender stuff. Billions and billions of dollars wasted on teaching other nations atheism and teaching them transgender junk. Now, what if we took that money and we sent Bibles and gospel tracts? You're talking about making the world better. By the way, our Congress, our national Congress, ordered Bibles to be sent. And so there's not, you know, when don't let people lie to you about this separation of church and state. Let me give you just a couple more. Like I said, I normally don't do all this reading, but Thomas Jefferson said, I'm a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. I have little doubt that that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator, and I hope to the pure doctrine of Jesus also. Oh, I love that quote. George Washington said in a farewell address, it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all the dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are indispensable supporters. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Someone said that, you better say, wait a minute, don't go there. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that our national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. You see how much our founding fathers knew, it's so important for us. Let me give you a Noah Webster. How many like Webster Dictionary? Noah Webster. The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis for all our civil constitution and laws. All the miseries and evil which men suffer from vice, crime, ambitions, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the principles contained in the Bible. Isn't that good? Amen. Look here. One. Two. It's just on and on. Let me give you some more recent presidents. And we'll end with this. Dwight Eisenhower said this when they were talking about putting in our pledge to the flag under God, one nation under God. The words under God will help us to keep constantly in our minds and hearts the spiritual and moral principle which alone give dignity to man, upon which our way of life is founded. That's why they wanted that in their pledge. Amen? Harry Truman said, "This is a Christian nation." That's 1947. Our president, Harry Truman. "This is a Christian nation." Ronald Reagan. "The founding fathers believed faith in God was the key to our being a good people and America becoming a great nation." Can I give you one more quote? Barack Obama. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. And can I end by just saying that's our problem? America will continue to get more and more debt. America will continue to be more and more immoral. There's no way of stopping the spread of sin. Legislators can't stop the spread of sin. The only one who can stop the spread of sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's a role for every single one of us. We all have a part to play. If America is going to become a Christian nation, that means this. You have to be a Christian. You can't sit on the sideline and hope that... Listen, are you against murder that's going on in America? How many are for that? Nobody. Even an atheist hopefully wouldn't say I'm for that. How many people be for all the rape that's going on in America? I believe this. Someone caught raping someone, they should receive a death penalty. And if it's a child, kill them twice. You know, if you can do that, kill them twice. You know, revive them and kill them again. Are you opposed to that? Rape and children being molested, and any decent person, a lost and unsaved atheist should say, "Yes, I'm opposed to that." Amen. Well, you can't sit on the sideline and be a disbeliever in God and think those things are going to change.
Amen.
You think wickedness is going to wane, and you're a part of it, you're encouraging it, you won't give your heart to God, yet you want other people to give their heart to God? Does that make any sense in all the world?
Nope.
If America's going to change, you have to come to God yourself. Love God. Live for God. Encourage others to come to God. Amen? I'll end by giving this illustration. I used to work with a man who hated guns. And we were in a heated conversation one day. He said, "They ought to take all the guns and throw them in the ocean." I said, "Chuck, what good is that going to do? Well, let's stop all this killing and stuff." I said, "Chuck, it wouldn't stop the killing. And if you want proof of that, you go to the United Kingdom, whatever they call it now, Great Britain. They took all the guns away. Guess how people are dying now? By knives. You know what they tried to do? They started trying to take their knives away. And then they realize, well, you can't take knives away. Even if you took that away, guess what? It'd still be some way. Cain and Abel didn't have guns or knives. As far as we know, they didn't have knives. I may need to check them now. I guess he did have knives, didn't he? Because he had... Never mind. And I said, "Chuck, you're part of the problem." And he didn't like that at all. He said, "What do you mean? I don't have a gun. I don't own guns." I said, "Chuck, you refuse to put your faith and trust in Christ. You don't want anything to do with Jesus." And I said, "If everybody in America was saved, you think if everybody had a gun, they'd be any murders?" He said, well, you know everybody's not going to get saved. I said, that's not my point. If they were saved, would there be any murders? He said, no. I said, you're so aggravated about guns because you hate these crimes are being committed, yet you are opposing the God that says, don't do that. Does that make any sense? If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Come. Come to Jesus and be saved. And help save America. Amen? Amen. I don't know if you ever look at your children. I first saw my oldest child, Vicky, was born. And I saw her in the hospital. You know what hit me heavy? I thought she's going to go to heaven or hell based largely on what I do. If I don't love God and live for God, and she watches my life, I'm going to push her away from Jesus Christ. And most likely she'll go to hell because of me. You realize the influence you have on your children? Now we have grandchildren. And I'm praying that they would be saved. And I want to try my best and influence them to come to Christ. And I can't influence them to come to Christ if I don't live for Christ myself. Get saved yourself. Amen? You want to make a difference in America? Follow Jesus. Christians, if you and I want to make a difference in America, we can't be hypocritical or half-hearted. I don't know if you sung that first song this morning as we were singing. Have thine own way, Lord, I thought. In my own heart, Lord, there's some things in my life that need to change. In order for that to be true, have your own way, there's some things in my life that have to change. When we start hearing from God again and getting in altars and praying and getting serious about our own sin, God may just use us to help people. Amen? If you're really concerned about America, get close to Jesus. Amen? And there's no telling what God will do. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we do need to remember as a people, our founding. People risked everything to come here so they could worship you freely. Lord, help us never to give that up. Lord, help us to teach it to our children and our children's children. I think the reason some people hate America so much, and I'm talking about people that live in America, is because of the reason we were founded. Their hatred for America is really an expression of their hatred for you. And God, I pray you give us the victory. Ask if there's any here this morning that's unsaved, that you would touch their heart, Holy Ghost conviction, help them to come to Jesus this morning. They need to be saved because you commanded them to be saved. You said that in Acts chapter 17. There was a time you winked at man's ignorance, but now you command all men everywhere to repent. Not to get saved would be rebellion against you and your commands. But they also need to be saved because their life will be ruined and destroyed by sin. It may mean they may think now they're having pleasure, they're having fun. They're doing exactly what they want to do, but sin always has a payday. There's always a time it catches up with us. No one can outrun the payment of sin. I pray, God, they would come to you, and they would trust in you before sin destroys their life. And so they're sitting in a bar somewhere, staring at a bottle, regretting all the times that they did not listen to you and did not respond to you. Please, God, help them to come today before they destroy their own life. And then, God, there's the fact that if they don't get saved, they're going to lead the ones they love the most away from Jesus. You said in your word, God, he that does not gather in scatters abroad. We're not with you, we're against you. There's no way we can encourage our children to come to you when we're fighting against you. Lord, help some to wave the white flag of surrender this morning and say, Jesus, I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm not going to resist you. I want you to have your will in my heart, my life. Lord, I pray that you'd touch their heart today and that you'd save them. Lord, help Christians as well. Many of us are not where we ought to be. You deal with us about things, and Lord, we just let those go. We forget about them. We get back out into a Monday, the normal activities of life, and we don't do those things that we know that we ought to do. Lord, settle those things today with us. Help us to come to an altar, get serious with you, and God, be honest with you. If everybody in America lived the Christian life we live, what kind of American Christianity would we have? Sometimes that's not much at all. And I pray, God, that you'd forgive us and that you'd help us to get things right this morning during this invitation. God bless. Draw your people. Draw the lost. Help us, God, to be changed this morning by the power of Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Get our hymn books and turn to page 272. Come for prayer, if you would. I'm sorry, 255? 255. And let God deal with your heart. 255.
Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood,